He's a civil engineer by day and a YouTube video producer by night. Sid Massand is the brains behind the Rock and Roll True Stories channel on YouTube, and hearing his story is a great example of human spirit in action. The financial crash in 2008 and 2009 and a lot of extra work stress made him realize he really wanted to reclaim his freedom and passion for work. So he started up a YouTube channel, and it's ended up being a pretty good revenue stream. The biggest piece of advice he has is find a niche and go all in. It takes a lot of bravery to do that, but if you go that direction, it'll pay off huge, and you won't wear yourself out trying to be all things to all people. If you want to hear more about the stories this chill Canadian is putting together, search for Rock and Roll True Stories to track down his channel. Let's jump into the conversation now. In St. Louis, and it's cold out here, and I do these in my truck usually. And it was so cold yesterday, like I couldn't feel my toes, man. So I set up something. It's like I got a blanket hanging in front of my desk, and I'm like,
"Are you guys hit by that snowstorm that's going around right now in the States?"
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we are. There's been snow. It's been snowing off and on for like 2 weeks, you know, and it's just piling up. We got like 8 inches, which is,
you know what? I live in Canada. My brother lives in Houston, Texas right now, and they were without power for a couple days. I think their power's back on, but their water not yet. But we live up in Canada, so like we've had a pretty warm winter, but like it's weird in the States. I feel like you guys get way more snow than we do. We just get like we got minus 40 last week.
Yeah.
It's probably like minus 10 Fahrenheit. It was like that the entire week. And you know, we don't get much snow during that time, but yeah, we get really cold, but not as much snow as we used to.
Yeah.
But
I've heard of it being like too cold to snow in some places where it's like, oh my goodness, it's really cold.
So how long is this cold snap like expected to last in the States? Because it looks pretty bad from what I've seen on the news. Like it looks scary.
You're asking a St. Louisan. It's going to vary. It's going to be either 2 days or 2 years. That's how long cold snaps last. It just,
oh my God.
Hey, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to weather around here. The running joke is if you don't like the weather, wait 30 minutes and it'll change.
Yeah, where I live, it's like the weather changes 5 minutes. But you know what? I that's one thing I hate about living in Canada. Like, I love living in Canada, but winters are horrible. Like, my parents are living here, but because of COVID, they would normally go to the States and visit my brother in Texas to get away from the cold. But yeah, you know, you can't do that now, unfortunately.
You definitely can't. Yeah, I saw that on Reddit the other day. I was like, I didn't realize that they were out of power for like 40 plus hours. And
yeah, and he's out of drinking water too. Like, they had to fill out their tubs and, you know, jugs and whatever they could do with clean water until their water's back on. But it's great. I work in engineering, so I'm a civil engineer by my normal profession, and I worked on a lot of water main projects and road projects. Over here, the water mains are like 8 feet deep because we get such deep frost. But in Houston, it's like they're like a foot deep. And now what's happening is because of these extreme weather events, they freeze. And they freeze and they break, and then it's just causing all these problems. And yeah, it's just like a whole different world, like how the engineering we do here because of the climate difference.
Yeah,
Texas, it's more normally sunny. You don't get snow on roads, so.
Yeah, I mean, you got to build for what's normal. You know, when you have an outlier like that, it's crazy. Well, tell me a little bit about your business. I know when we first got signed up, and I think we tried before, and then I wasn't recording, and I'm like, I got to get Sid on the show. Because I remember you had a pretty cool background, but for, I guess, to refresh my memory and the people listening, so what keeps you busy during the day when you're not in a closet recording a podcast?
So I still have my day job. Like, I work as an engineer. I went to school for civil environmental engineering and mostly work on infrastructure projects like roads and bridges and all that fun stuff. And I've been doing it for 10, 11 years. And the other thing I'm doing now is like YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel called Rock and Roll True Stories. And I write scripts just about, you know, mostly from bands from when I grew up, like from the 80s to the early 2000s. That's kind of like when I was listening to rock and roll a lot. And yeah, we tell stories about like albums, incidents, controversies, whatever happened to those, you know, certain bands from the 90s that were big then, but like, where did they go 20 years later? So we tell like a widening range of stories from that. And it's grown like to pretty much like I could thankfully leave my job if I wanted to. And it's nice to have that to fall back on with COVID. It's been scary because like we went through layoffs and stuff and redeployments and all that stuff. So it's been stressful last year for, I'm sure everybody's been dealing with that.
They have. Well, it's really cool that you have that to fall back on. So like, well, walk me through it. Like how does that result in a business? Like I've heard of people that they start a YouTube channel and then they make just a crap ton of money. So like, how is that a revenue stream for you? Can you walk me through it?
It's really, I mean, there's different streams you can go through. For us, it's mostly just advertising. Like when you watch a YouTube video, you have like the 30-second advertisements and
right.
You get paid based on clicks. And, you know, if your videos get a lot of views and you're in the right niche, because different niches pay different amounts of money. Like advertisers will pay certain niches higher than others. Like ours is like medium, but if you're a person who's into like financial planning or you're in the medical field, I've heard those niches pay like 4 times the normal amount.
Oh, wow.
So it depends what advertisers are willing to pay and what niche you're in. So for us, it's mostly just through ad revenue. There's sponsorships you can get. You've probably seen YouTube channels that have like, this video is brought to you by so-and-so, and they're generally probably cut a deal with that company to pay X amount of dollars for a mention or get a back end of sales from their product. There's Amazon affiliates. So if we tried it a little bit where I'm like, oh, this is the rock and roll stuff I'm loving on Amazon. Go check it out. So if you click it and people buy it, you get like a percentage of that. And then if you have your own product you're selling, you can use YouTube to kind of facilitate that and promote it. So for us, it's mostly ad revenue.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, how did you decide to start it up? I mean, it seems like, you know, you had some stuff happen and then I'm going to do this thing. How'd you do it?
Well, I'm 34 years old. So I graduated from university in 2009 and the economy was nowhere near as bad as this, but I was like the first graduating class of the financial crisis,
right?
Which doesn't seem like that long ago, but it's like 11 years ago. And, you know, it was hard to find a job. And I did find a job working way up north, like kind of like by the North Pole for like a year or so. And I had always worked with my dad during the summers, and he's an engineer too. And he was a strange engineer in the sense that he was a jack of all trades. He knew how to do everything because he was a town engineer. So you have to be well versed in everything. And I had never met any other engineer like that. So my only exposure to engineering was working with him, and he was like super smart. He had people skills, which a lot of engineers I don't think generally do, or it's kind of not taught in school. And my opinions of engineers was like way up here. I'm like, all engineers must be like this because they put you through all this hell in school. It was really difficult schooling. And then when I started working in the real world, that wasn't my experience. I've noticed that engineers are very, okay, you have one specialty and that's all you do all day. And right. There's not many people who are well-rounded. And I started working for a couple of years, and I noticed a lot of my fellow, like my coworkers were getting promoted over me. Like I go for job interviews, and I hated doing interviews, like job interviews. I like doing these interviews, but the job interviews, it's just like very fake. And it's like, it's more about who you know, not what you know. Mm-hmm. And you have to be well-connected. And then, you know, opportunities weren't occurring for me, but my coworkers were getting promoted over me, and I was just so sick of people having control over my future. Like they could make a split second decision, say, yes, we're going to hire you or not. And that can change the course of your career. And I was like, I want my freedom in my life. Like I'll still do this job, but I wanted to do something I was really passionate about. Like my passion started to go down in my job. And I started as a dating coach. Actually, I had met my wife online. Yeah. And I was a really good, I think I was a good writer back then. And I started coaching guys and girls about how to write good dating profiles. And yeah. I took on some clients and did that for about a year. But then I noticed like, I would get a lot of clients around 40 to 50 who were like been divorced or they had kids and they had a lot of like emotional baggage too. Mm-hmm. And it was draining to have to listen to that day in and day out. And I wanted to do something where I'm not really dealing with people. So I started YouTube. So I went through a couple different niches in YouTube. It took me about 4 years, and I started like a Guns N' Roses fan channel, which got about 50,000 subs. And I learned from that people really enjoyed the videos where I did like mini documentaries. But you know, on one day, you can only tell so many stories. And I had been toying around with the idea of doing like, why don't I just do like a general rock and roll one? And you know, it took me a couple of years to finally work up the courage to do that. But I started it a month before my daughter was born in like early 2019. And it just exploded. Like I was just planning it being like this, oh, this nice little thing that I could enjoy doing and maybe make a little bit of money. But like all of a sudden the audience started growing for it. And then it just like turned into like what I spend most of my time doing. and my passion, really.
Nice, nice. You know, there's like a superpower when you have something in the background that really puts some soul into you, and you're like, I really love doing this. And then the day job is like, yeah, I do it, you know, but it's not like my soul thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like that. Like, you know, but I also was talking to somebody about this the other day, that my day job gives me something YouTube doesn't, which is, well, not so much now because of COVID, but it gave me that social interaction, like actually going and talking to people and having a conversation. And I have friends at work too, who I'm close with, but I feel YouTube can be a very lonely place. And that's why people can get burned out on YouTube, which is pretty common. People deal with anxiety, which I've dealt with before. And you know, depression, which thankfully I haven't really experienced a whole lot of that in my life, but there was another moment that happened in my life, was in 2017. We had this massive restructuring where I work, and the group I was working with was really good. And I'm the kind of person who likes freedom in my life to just like, give me a project and let me run with it. And we had this restructuring, my boss left and other coworkers got transferred, and then people started getting like fired every week. And they would send out emails to everybody in this massive organization. And, you know, the thing that goes through your head is that, oh, am I going to be next? Like, because these people start talking, rumors start happening. Oh, you did hear this. Did you hear about this person? Blah, blah, blah. And holy smokes, my anxiety reached like levels that I'd never experienced before. It was almost like panic attacks.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I said, I'm going all in on YouTube. Like that, you know, not getting jobs and then having to deal with that. That was when I was like, okay, I need to regain my freedom in my life and have control over my destiny. And at that point in time, YouTube wasn't to the point where I could quit my day job. Like I was making a little bit of money on the side and that was great. But I was like, that's going to become my sole focus. And I was always very driven in life to succeed and, you know, whatever I put my mind to.
Nice. I love it. I love it. You know, it's amazing to me, seriously, how often things happen, and you're not the first person to come on the show and talk about this, how there's just this tremendous stress that drives them to do something. You know, if things were going fine, you probably wouldn't push as hard in this direction. You would have been like, yeah, I'm okay. I guess I can just come show up, do my 8 hours and live life, you know, American dream, right? And it's like, sometimes things just force you into greatness.
Yeah, you go through these horrible things in life and it's hard to understand why you're going through that at that point in time. In my life, nobody who I was working with knew I was going through this anxiety. Like I would show up to work and I had like 1 hour sleep. And this happened for like a long time. Like I was not sleeping.
Right.
You know, I felt like my heart was going to jump out of my chest. Stuff I'd never experienced in my life before. And it's sometimes hard to trigger what it is. Is it multiple things? Is it one thing? And I find like after a little bit, I finally like you figure out what it is. And I look back and I say, even though that was a horrible time in my life, I probably wouldn't be where I am today had that stuff not happened.
Right.
And my 20s were really rough. And I feel like my 30s, I've found a little more peace and settlement, I guess you could say. And when COVID happened, like, you know, there's been, of course, enormous economic impact because of that. And we talk about layoffs and people being like, oh, I think if this happened 4 years ago, I'd probably have a lot more anxiety than I do now, because I have something to turn my attention to kind of ignore the noise about everything else that's going on.
Right. Yeah. You've got a place that you can turn all that nervous energy and that anxiety. And a lot of people don't have that, but if you've got an outlet for it, it's like you can kind of ground it out. Right. So that's really cool.
Yeah. It's so important to have that. But I think at the same time, it's also important. And I've learned this the hard way, to like find balance in your life. Like I was working probably way more than I should have on that channel. Right. And I got burnt out at some points, and I'm trying to like, I'm the kind of person like who always needs to be kept busy doing something. Like it's hard for me to relax sometimes. So I've been finding like, I've been trying to enjoy stuff more, like, you know, smell the fresh air and that kind of stuff and take up hobbies.
Nice, man. That's cool. That's cool. Well, what do you wish someone had told you about entrepreneurship? Like if you can go back 5 years and say, I got some piece of information that I didn't have at my disposal before, like what would that be, you think?
You know, I struggled early on in YouTube. I think the biggest problem I had was I didn't know what my niche was. I didn't even know that you needed a niche, really. Mm-hmm. I thought you just upload a video and people start getting a following and stuff like that. I wish somebody would have came and told me like, this is your niche. This is what you should do. Go all in on it. And it took me like a long time to do that. And I wish that was like one of the best pieces of advice. I wish I would have probably learned a little earlier on, like how to, I self-taught myself like all this video editing and how to like, where's the best place to record stuff and that kind of thing too. And, you know, maybe which video editing software to use, because my early videos were really rough and now I'm more proud of the quality. There's still room for improvement, but I feel like, yeah, my niche and like how to get some of those skills, maybe work on those earlier than I did pick them up.
Yeah, that really rings true. There's something about having that specialty, which I think a lot of people, they don't take that step. They want to be more of a generalist because it's scary to niche down. Yeah, you could be an expert and be well known for whatever it is that you're doing, but there's like a comfy security blanket associated with like, I got to do everything, you know? And it just spreads you so
Yeah,
thin, man.
even with my channel, there's like, it's like, okay, like there's some stuff I do that's like maybe out of my comfort zone, like covering certain artists maybe people may not like, or it's every time I do upload a video, it's a little nerve-wracking. It's like, oh, how are people going to receive it? Is it going to be too niche or is it going to be too broad? So yeah, it's difficult. You know, if somebody asks me, like, is there a tried and true formula of what will work? And it's like, yes and no, right? Like some stuff that blows up, you never think it would. And then other stuff that you're really proud of and you think people will like, they don't. It's really difficult. The other thing that I wish somebody would have told me early on in my career, and maybe I would have started becoming an entrepreneur earlier, is you know, I think when you're young and you know in your early 20s and you graduate from school, you feel kind of green and you feel like you have to prove yourself. And I remember the piece of advice I received in like 2017 when I was going through all that stuff. And somebody told me, who I was talking to, so like, you should never try to impress your boss. Like, if you're trying to impress your boss, you're doing it wrong. You should just be happy with where you're at. Because I was a perfectionist up until that point in my career. And I was always trying to, like, for some reason, you need validation. That felt like that to me. And once that kind of connected and I went through all that stuff and I kind of the smoke cleared, I was like, my attitude towards work changed. I didn't need things to be perfect. I didn't need validation from anybody except myself that I did the best job I possibly could and let the chips fall where they may. I feel like I went through a lot of birthing pain to like learn that lesson. I wish somebody would have told me that as soon as I came out of school. But yeah, maybe that's something I'll tell. Like I mentor a lot of the young engineers who do like research projects, so they come and interview me about my old projects. So I hopefully try to pass that on to them if I can.
Yeah, please do, because that's something that nobody taught me either. And I ended up working myself. Like, I was class A workaholic and I was a jerk. And like, nobody sat down and told me, listen, you're great at what you do. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. Just do awesome stuff, right? They're not out to get you. Just be yourself, Fritz. And nobody told me that until later, then, you know.
That's the hardest thing to learn. Like I was going to ask you, Michael, like where did you like what was some of your early part of your career spent doing?
Oh, I've always been like a hardcore nerd. So, I mean, early on, so I graduated with a computer science degree in 2006. And, you know, my first jobs that I had were like embedded software development. So, like microchips and things like that. And from there, I got into the financial sector, which is a real like type A personality sector. There's a lot
I
of
can
drivers,
imagine,
go getters. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, yelling is the default. Like, you talk to customers, oh my goodness, why the blank isn't this working? It's like literally, I just got here. I haven't had coffee yet, right? But yeah, I mean, early on in my career, and if it hadn't have been for meeting key people that had self-awareness, that would read things like, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, or
Yeah, I remember reading that book.
yeah, it's an awesome book. I was
A
telling
really
somebody
good
earlier
book.
today, yeah, it's a game changer book. And you know, had I not been around those kind of people that just had like the emotional intelligence and the wherewithal to be like, how am I feeling? How am I impacting people around me? I would have just like kept the blinders on and just, you know, throw some code to the problem and just anything can be solved with logic and just, you know, why can't people just act like robots kind of thing? And here I am, man, not being able to talk to people and relate with them. You'd never know I'm a software developer by looking at me, would you?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because like my dad read that book, the Dale Carnegie one. I read the new one that came out in the digital age, like How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Digital Age. And yeah, I remember like just working with my dad. He was so good at socializing with people, and one thing he taught me was to like be social with everybody you see in your day. And I feel like with technology now, maybe with when COVID, like this whole horrible pandemic goes away, people will start to realize that more. But just I try to talk to everybody I can in my day, like whether it's like the barista at Starbucks or wherever you're going in your day, because I find it definitely makes you more social. And it becomes, you know, networking is so important, especially when you're starting in your career, to get new opportunities.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny you even talk about like, you know, people wouldn't know you're in IT or you're in computer science. But like in Canada, you know, engineers would get the special ring. It's called like the engineer's ring you wear on your pinky. Yeah. I don't wear mine. And people are like, you can spot an engineer a mile away because you see that ring. Like, oh, he's an engineer. And I don't wear mine because like for two reasons. I think the ring is kind of ridiculous. Like, I don't need to prove to somebody that I'm an engineer or I'm part of some exclusive club.
Yeah.
And yeah, you get typecasted as a certain person. And I was telling my mom this the other day, like, I don't feel like engineering just defines my career anymore. Like, I feel like YouTube is what that thing is.
Yeah.
So I think most people, even my wife told me when she met me, she's like, yeah, you're not your atypical engineer that, you know, people generally meet.
Yeah. That's the same thing here too. It's like the more, like there are some really awesome purebred engineers out there. That's like all they do. That's their niche, right? But there's also a niche in just the variety of things that you run across and the things that you learn and lessons that you pick up as you go through life. And, you know, software and interpersonal skills and consulting and automation and all this stuff all put together, and the order in which you learn it affects it greatly too. And you become your own personal brand. And if you're doing it right, in my opinion, you're not going to be who you were 5 years ago. You're not going to be who you were even a year ago. You're constantly changing. We're squishy people. We're always going to change. Yeah. Absolutely. So awesome, man. Well, I guess other than what advice your dad gave you about, you know, being personable and talking to people, like, do you have any sage advice for people that are maybe starting their entrepreneurial journey?
I think one of the pieces of advice is to be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, sometimes I know for me, like sometimes I'm my most self-critical. I mean, I'm the most critical of myself. Just to be kind to yourself and just to believe in yourself and like have faith that things will work out. I found that got me through the later part of my career is like, you'd be working on these massive projects. All these problems come up and all these risks come up and it's like, things will work out. As long as you do your best, generally things will work out. But I think the second thing is, really not to put too much stock in what other people think. I think that's comes back to like believing in yourself. I know for the early part of my career, it's like, you're trying to prove yourself, worry about what other people think. It's nice to like be free of that. And I think if you can do those things, I think you'll save yourself a lot of headache early on in your career and your journey. Yeah. And to, you know, really seek out advice from people who are positive and have been there. I think sometimes people don't want to seek out advice for people or even like ask for directions, right? Like, I mean, I've been put in situations, like I got redeployed this summer and I was working construction during the whole pandemic and I hadn't worked construction in 10 years. And a lot of it was new to me. So I had to seek out advice from people who were older than me and people who had been there, just because I admit that I don't know. It's okay to admit that you don't know everything, right? But at least you know where to find the answer. I think that's the other thing too. Like, don't expect that you have to know everything when you start your career, but you should be able to find the answer if you need to, if you're, you know, determined.
Right. Beef up on your Google Foo is what I'm hearing, right?
Yeah. Like you won't believe the number of times I Googled stuff when I was out in the field because, you know, some stuff I didn't know how to deal with, or I just like text my friend and be like, hey, how do you guys deal with this situation? Or yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to learn stuff now than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, it sure is. You're not limited by which books you decided to buy, you know, 15 years prior. We're in the information age. This has really been awesome, man. I'm really glad to know like a little bit more about what you do. And I think we're going to be in contact. I think you're a chill guy. If you're podcasting in a closet, there's something special about you, man.
This was the best piece of advice I got for my channel was, we'd worked with a YouTube coach about a year after, like we came up with our channel, and I was doing my audio in like this horrible room. Like it was every drywall everywhere. It was bouncing off of stuff, super echoey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, he said, why don't you just go record in your closet? You don't need an expensive studio. And I remember the first time I went into the closet and started recording stuff, I was amazed at the difference in sound quality and how it was. I was like, why wasn't I doing this a year earlier?
Yeah. That's why I started doing these in the truck, man. I got four really, really noisy girls in the house and they're like plonking on the piano and yelling and chasing each other. And it's just, and I'm like, I'm not going to edit this out. I am no audio engineer. It would take you like a year to get it out of there. I'm like, I can't.
Well, you got four. I got one who's like about to turn two, and she, like, I thought it would be easy after they hit one because they start walking, and I thought they'd become more self-sufficient, but it's like, no, it's like it's a whole other game.
Oh man, it's mobile, and then it's like you can't like, you can't just like lay them on the floor and they just stay put. Like,
it doesn't happen. That's true. Know,
they just, you look, oh shoot, where'd they go? And then when it's too quiet, oh boy. Oh
yeah.
Boy.
Oh, so where's she? Like, there's been times like, oh my God, where'd she go? Yeah. Cause it's crazy too. Like, you know, in the summertime it's nice because, you know, we can take her to the playground, but in Canada, I'm like minus 40. It's like, you're stuck in the house. It's like, let's go to the basement. There's some stuff we can play down there, but
yeah.
I'm so looking forward to like spring and summertime coming. Cause it'll just be like, and I'm sure it's the same in the States. Everybody is renovating their place right now, or they're going to be doing landscaping soon, or all like the outdoor stuff, like bikes and basketball hoops are sold out. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I got to jump on that and try to have a more normal summer this year.
Yeah, man. Or buy some stock in that stuff. Cause it's going to be going to the moon, man, to the moon.
Well, it was funny, before COVID, my wife had bought stocks in convenience stores, like some company that owns all these convenience stores, and medical conferencing. Like, you know, people do, like doctors do online visits instead of like in person. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, of course that one took off with everything going on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's good foresight.
Yeah. Yeah. Hindsight's always the worst. I've never had luck with stocks, but that's a subject for a different podcast.
Yeah.
Well, how would people find you? So what was the name of the YouTube channel again?
It's Rock and Roll True Stories. So if people just Google it or just YouTube it, like, you'll see like all the videos. I think we've done something like 400 videos and counting, something like that.
Oh, nice.
And the cool part is like, our audience dictates a lot of our content. So we have like a request form people can fill out, and they can let us know what stories they want us to see. And a lot of the content I'm putting out these days is just like fan requests I get. And mm-hmm. It saves me the trouble of having to think of something creative. So.
Oh man, that does shortcut some of it. Maybe I should do some of that for the podcast. Give me some ideas, man.
It's great. And you know what? It shows to your audience you're listening to them too. Right. And yep. I always let them know, like, this is a fan request, or there's like, we got a lot of requests. You can see trends. Like, there's certain artists and stories that get a lot of requests. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Were you giving me some ideas? You're giving me some ideas. I'm going to have to let them stew, but for now, I'm going to let you hop off, and I'll get this edited as quickly as possible and get your story out. Maybe get you some new listeners. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Awesome, man. Well, always a pleasure getting to know new people, and we will be in touch because you're a chill dude. I need to hang around more people like you.
That's what my wife sees. I'm very chill. I try to be, but yeah. And you know what, Michael, like, stay safe with like the winter stuff. I was telling you earlier, my brother's in Texas, and we're just hoping everybody's safe with all this craziness that's going on.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think we'll get through it. We'll all make it through. It'll be a challenge, but we'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get there. All right, man. Well, take care. Have a good rest of the day. Stay warm. All right.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime, man. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share, and this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.